Should the worlds of football and art ever meet, I ask you? Well, if you think not, then an exhibition that is going to be held in London next week might persuade you otherwise. I found out all about it earlier this week, and I'll get the man I spoke to about it to introduce himself.
My name is Theo Delaney. I'm a filmmaker, but I'm also a director of an organisation called Fantasista. And Fantasista is a collection of football artists and creative people, and next week we have our inaugural Fantasista exhibition in Waterloo.
You say a collection of football artists, as if that is on the Venn diagram of football and artists. There is a natural kind of overlap between the two things,
well,
necessarily.
That's a really good philosophical question, and that gets to the very heart of what we're about, because, of course, everybody likes art on some level or another, and many of us love football. And, you know, football at its very best is like an art form. I made a film a few years ago with Eric Cantona. I spent a long time with him doing very long interviews, and there were a lot of long pauses involved, as there always are with somebody as philosophical as that. And I remember one particularly long pause where the two of us are just sitting there with just me and him and a camera, and he suddenly said to me, "Football is art. It is a beautiful art. And as footballers, we are all artists." And, you know, in a way, it was quite a poignant moment, and it made me think, yeah, well, football is art. I mean, if ballet is art, if theatre is art, football's art. So we call this organisation Fantasista, because Fantasista is a name for the playmaker, for the number 10, for someone like Eric or Pelé or Glenn Hoddle or you know, Lionel Messi, who are artists. They elevate the game. But it came about because I work in another organisation called Hotspur and Argyle, also a football allusion, with an artist called Richard Swarbrick, who does animations. And he makes the most beautiful kind of ethereal sort of painterly animations of footballers. And they've had an enormous following on the internet. And lots of artists who also work, you know, on football subjects got in touch with him, and they started to talk and everything. And it suddenly occurred to us that there are a lot of people all over the world making art on the theme of football. And that's when Fantasista came about.
Because it's, I guess, the thing that connects the two would be passion as much as anything.
Exactly, that's exactly it. I mean, they're not things that you kind of are casual about or blasé about. They're things that you care passionately about, and they tell you a lot about life. I mean, art is supposed to tell you a lot about life, but football, who's the famous philosopher? It's Camus, wasn't it, who said...
Camus was a goalkeeper.
He was a goalkeeper, Camus, exactly. And he said, everything you can learn about life, you can learn from football. And this is one of the great deep thinkers, you know, so... Yeah, I think it's. I think they have many, many similarities, and because people care so passionately about football and their football teams and the art of football, that's what prompts artistic people, artists, to make art about football. And suddenly, you know, like you say, at first glance, you think football art. What, they're completely different worlds, and then when you think about it, they have many, many similarities, and that's reflected in this wonderful range of artwork that we've got on display in our exhibition.
In that case, explain some of the examples in this exhibition of football becoming art as such.
Yeah, so some of the art, we've got a real range of art. So some of it is almost illustrative and figurative. I mean, I've talked about Richard Swarbrick. He makes films, but he also does illustrations, and they're beautiful kind of line, sort of painterly renditions of footballers. When you see the films, you can recognise their movement and everything, but they're like nothing else you've seen in terms of the sound design and the actual, you know, the visual impact of them. And then we have conceptual artists. We've got a fantastic guy from China called Otto Lee, for example, who's made a thing called Make Your Own David Beckham, which is like a, you know, those kind of plastic toys that you can get or used to get where lots of different components are all on one plastic sheet, and you pop them out and then put them together with glue, or they click together, almost like a Kinder Egg type toy.
Yeah.
And then you make something like a dragon or a monster or a car or something. So he's done that, but it's David Beckham. You make your own David Beckham. And he's making a kind of comment there about David Beckham becomes like almost like a plaything for the world. So some of it's conceptual like that. We've got a fantastic guy called Zoran Lukic from Bosnia, and he just does amazing kind of retro-looking posters that are just beautiful things. But he also makes a comment every now and then. So he's done this fantastic thing for us where it's just a great big grainy close-up cropped of John Terry from behind. And all you get is, you get in the top right-hand corner, you get the word Terry from the top of his shirt. And in the bottom right-hand corner of this stark kind of image is his armband, which says... which is the anti-racism message from UEFA. So it's an ironic look, you know, not making any comment one way or another, but it's thought-provoking. You know, that there's John Terry, who's had all these controversies, and there he is, just in a nutshell, in this tiny cropped, you know, part of him from a game. So some of it makes a comment, some of it is just beautiful to look at, but there's a real variety. We have video, we have 3D, we have sculpture, we have installations, and we have lots of paintings in different media. And we have it from all over the world, as I say.
Was it relatively easy to find the artwork, or were you almost commissioning people, saying to them, we want you to do something with football in mind?
The way it came about is it just happened almost by accident. It wasn't even planned. All of these artists got in touch with us, mostly because of Richard Swarbrick's work, and we became friends, because that's so easy to do now, through Twitter and Facebook and everything. We all became kind of friendly, and then Richard came out with this name, Fantasista, and then we became almost a collective. But we wanted this exhibition to be diverse, so we wanted to go out there and find stuff as well as all the masses of stuff came to us automatically. So we started working with these fantastic curators who have a gallery called Bare Space in Deptford, which is a real hotbed of contemporary art at the moment. And they went out and they found the more conceptual artists and the sculptors and stuff like that for us. So some of the stuff has come through a sort of more conventional curation process, and some of it is the stuff that just came to us automatically. There's loads of great stuff we couldn't even fit into this exhibition, and we'll certainly aim to do bigger exhibitions going forward.
Well, I was going to ask you that, if this has made you think this is going to be the first of many of these?
That's our intention now, because again, not because that's what we've set out to do from the beginning, but because we've had so much interest, not just here in the UK, but also from abroad. I mean, we've had people, Richard Swarbrick's just been in Brazil, where they flew him into Brazil because they did a big interview with him in front of an audience, and they've got plans to project his films onto buildings in World Cup year. We've had people from Turkey getting in touch, who want to get people from Thailand. So we think this exhibition, it's just one of those things that you hit upon and then you realise everybody's almost been subconsciously waiting for it to happen all over the place, you know. And as I say, because of social media, we all converse all the time. So I think we certainly would hope to do it again, bigger in the UK, but also take it around the world, yeah.
The stereotypical football fan isn't an art fan necessarily. I'm not saying that the modern football fan isn't, but there is this image of a football fan that you would imagine would not go to an art gallery. Are you trying to bring that person in?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's welcome. If you love football, you will almost certainly love this exhibition. There'll be something for you because, as I say, there's such a diverse range of stuff in there. But, I think football's now, that old image of a very sort of set kind of, I mean, I've been going to football for 35 years and it's changed. Football now is universal. It's for everyone. It cuts across all class barriers and all levels of education and all national barriers and everything. And I just think now that it's as valid an area to be talking about art as any other.
And you mentioned your time with Eric Cantona, who's seen as being one of the more thoughtful footballers that there has been. I get the impression that, I think, away from English football, perhaps the average footballer is more intelligent, more well-read, more well-rounded, potentially. Yeah. Should an English footballer be coming to an exhibition like this to become more of an art lover, as it were?
A footballer,
yeah,
as opposed to a football fan.
Yeah.
Why not? I think there are English, I mean, one thing's for sure about top English footballers, they're extremely rich. So a lot of them do collect art. And I know, for instance, Zoran Lukic, who I spoke about before, he's had a long dialogue with Gary Neville, who loves his stuff and has commissioned stuff from him. And I think David James is another who's quite well known for his art enthusiasm. Graham Lasso is a famously cultured individual, and I think I think that footballers are becoming more sophisticated and more interested in more cerebral things, probably. So we would welcome footballers there as well.
I think you mentioned at the beginning of this interview about football being, why couldn't football be art like dance is art?
Yeah.
And it brought to mind to me a film that was made about Zinedine Zidane that was quite remarkable, and it was nothing about where he was necessarily on that pitch or whatever. It was very much about his movement and his ability and his the iconic image that was Zinedine Zidane.
It was an art film. It was a work of art. It was certainly not a piece of sports coverage. That's one of the reasons why I think people love this kind of work, is because if you're a massive football fan like I am, and you are, we watch so much football. I mean, I watch football constantly. That's why July is such a bleak month. There's so little football available. But we watch it, and it's always in the same medium, which is pin-sharp colour television pictures, essentially, unless you're at the game. I also happen to have a season ticket at a football club, so there are two ways you watch it. You actually watch it live, or you watch it on the television.
Which football club is that?
Tottenham Hotspur.
Okay.
So when you... So to see this thing that you love so much, but you only ever see in one of two ways in a completely different medium, that's what's special about Richard Swarbrick's work, for example, that I talked about earlier. I mean, he made his first film sitting in his bedroom. He was living with his parents, and he just sat there doing it as a labour of love. And it was a film of Gareth Bale tearing Inter Milan apart, games that I attended as a Tottenham fan. And he made this film purely for himself. And it was so moving, so poignant, and so... literally breathtaking, because you're seeing pictures that you've seen so many times in that medium that I'm talking about in this completely new medium, in this completely new guise, and it takes your breath away. And I think that all of the 20 artists we've got in this exhibition in some way or another achieve that. So if you're a football fan, you go there and it makes you, you know, you can be awestruck, I think. Mm.
Oh, and as soon as you said you're a Tottenham fan, I did think of Gareth Bale and the beauty of his movement on a football pitch can easily be translated, as you say, into something that that people who aren't football fans could appreciate.
Absolutely. I mean, it's balletic, isn't it? I mean, people on that level, people like him and Messi and, you know, and Neymar, and I mean, they're artists, as Eric said.
So as much as inviting the football fan in, are you hoping that arts fans will start to appreciate
Definitely.
The world of
and
football?
We're getting lots of interest in the exhibition from art aficionados, but I'd love it if we had... do you know what I'd really love? I would consider to be... This has only just occurred to me, but what a massive success it would be if we could get Brian Sewell down White Hart Lane, the great art critic. Let's see if we can do that. If we can do that, we'll have
achieved
everything.
It feels like an Arsenal fan to me, to be honest.
Do you know what? I agree with you. There is something of the night about him.
And as far as the exhibition itself is concerned, just can you remind people where they need to be and when?
Yeah. Well, the best place to get all the details, of course, is the website, which is fantasista.co.uk. But the exhibition kicks off on Thursday at the Cello Factory Gallery in Waterloo. And it's on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's free to get in. That's really good news. And and it's nice and central. It's a lovely space, the Cello Factory, and we hopefully we get loads of people along.
And just to let you know, those were my views and not those of the BBC. If Brian Sewell's lawyers are listening, he might be an Arsenal fan, he might not be. Here in SW19, keeping an eye on what's happening on Centre Court, but out and about is our reporter Jade Lauriston.